Remember, building relationships with students is not just between you and the individual student. You want to build a community of learners. The best way to do this is to get students comfortable talking to each other in an academic setting.
Hi there, I'm Carolyn Wall, your host of the Middle School Cafe podcast, a podcast specifically for secondary ELA teachers looking to close the achievement gap. I'm a 20-year veteran teacher who still loves being in the classroom. Tune in each week as I reflect on my own teaching experience to bring you lesson plans, strategies, and stories that will help you develop your students as readers and writers. So grab your notepad, a cup of coffee, and join me each week as we dive into all things ELA. Here we go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Feels so good to be back working on the podcast. I can't believe that summer is over and we are already in back-to-school mode. Did you catch the summer series episodes? I had so much fun recording the interviews and getting to meet so many people that I work with in the online space, but had never actually talked to or seen in person. Really, the goal of the summer series was to bring you some fresh ideas as we talk about teaching in the post-pandemic era. We are definitely better together, and so I thought the summer series was a great way to bring a few new ideas to the podcast. We talked about so many things, from the importance of student choice to how to hold students accountable for reading and how to add a little bit of fun to your lessons with escape rooms. I took away so many ideas from each guest that I know I'll be implementing this year. If you missed the summer series, you can go back and listen anytime. You may even want to bookmark a few of them and re-listen to them as the year progresses and you're looking for new ideas. If you did listen and found value in any of the episodes, could you do me a favor and head over to iTunes and leave a review? It just helps more teachers like you find the podcast. It'd be so appreciative if you were able to do that. As you probably already know, we pre-recorded the interviews last May and June, so it was nice to have a few weeks off where I could just enjoy my summer vacation. If you're on my email list, you know that I didn't take any big trips this year. Instead, we decided to be tourists in our state. If you go to the show notes on my website, middleschoolcafe.com, I've posted a few fun pictures from our adventures, some that I've already shared with my email subscribers and some new ones. I live in Oregon, very close to Portland, which means that I'm just a few hours to the beautiful Oregon coast. We made several day trips this year, especially when the weather here in town got super hot. It is much cooler on the other side of the mountain. Other trips we took, we explored the Tillamook Forest and did some hiking. Okay, hiking's in quotes. We stayed on the trails, but it was still really gorgeous and a lot of fun. There's lots of big trees and greenery. It's amazing. Something that I know I take for granted that I'm so close. And my dad, who turned 80 this summer, wanted to visit a rock museum. So when your 80-year-old dad asks, you go. It's not really my thing, but I always enjoy spending time with my dad. There were also lots of coffee and bookstore dates with friends and dinner with family. So even though we didn't take any big trips this year, we still had a great summer visiting places right here in our own state. All in all, it was a good summer. Are you back in school yet? Just as we end the school year in this weird place with so many people being out of school while others are in school, here we are again at the start of the year. Well, many of you have been in school for a few weeks now. Today, the day that this episode will drop, is my first official day of the 2023-2024 school year. However, I did head in a few days last week, but only because I'm moving classrooms. Last year, as you know, I taught sixth grade, which means that I had to move my classroom to the first floor. And this year, I'm back to teaching eighth grade, which means that I am packing up and headed back up to the third floor. I am much more comfortable in eighth grade, so moving classrooms is totally worth it. But if you've ever moved classrooms, you know the amount of work that goes into it. I did do better this year because I knew at the end of last year that I had to move classrooms. So when I cleaned up at the end of the year, I packed everything up and was ready to just move boxes. Still settling in, but things will be ready when the students return next week. So this leads me to what I want to discuss with you today, and that's building relationships with students. Now, I know that many people say that building relationships with students is the only way that students will learn in your class. And while I believe they are important, I think there's a misconception about what we mean when we say relationships with students. I think many teachers, especially new teachers, think that when we talk about relationships, we're talking about becoming friends with our students. And that misses the mark quite a bit. I want you to think about the type of relationships you've had with coworkers or bosses in the past. You've had to build a relationship in which you can work effectively, where you can get along and be respectful and get the job done. You didn't have to become best friends with everyone. And that's the same with our students. I'm not looking to become best friends with 100 plus 13-year-olds. I want my students to understand me enough to know that I care about them and their success, and I want to know them enough to tailor my curriculum to meet their needs and their interests. I want to be able to draw them in based on what they enjoy so that I can help them understand why learning is so important. I'm not looking to build close relationships with every student that lasts a lifetime, although that can happen. I have students that I taught in my early years of teaching that I still connect with via social media today, but that's not the norm. My goal really is to build a working relationship with students that allows me to teach and for them to learn. There's two times of year when you will hear conversations about building relationships. One is at the beginning of the year, and the other is anytime there's a discipline concern. And because it's the beginning of the year, we are seeing all sorts of posts and advertisement for get to know you activities. And I'm not saying that those are bad. I've made posts around those same topics and even have back to school activities in my store. But today I want to go deeper than the first day activities or icebreakers. Building relationships sets the foundation for a positive and productive learning environment, an environment where students feel comfortable enough to learn. It's not only about building relationships with an individual student, it's about building a learning community with your classroom. You can't build a community without the individual relationships, so it's not choosing between individual relationships or classroom community. You have to have both. So let's talk about why creating this relational environment is so crucial. Number one, it creates a sense of belonging. When students feel connected to their teacher, they feel like they belong in the classroom. This sense of belonging fosters a safe and supportive atmosphere where students are more likely to express themselves, share their thoughts, and participate actively in activities. It can also reduce feelings of isolation and encourage collaboration among students. Number two, it recognizes students as individuals. Every student is unique, and building relationships with my students allows me to get to know each student as the individual they are. Understanding their strengths, their weaknesses, and interests helps me to tailor my teaching approach to better meet their needs. When students see that the teacher recognizes and values them as individuals, they become more engaged in the learning process. This does not mean creating a unique assignment for every student, but when possible, include what you know about your students in your lessons. Is there a game they all like or something local that you can draw in to help make a connection for them? And number three, builds trust and respect. Trust and respect are two vital elements in any classroom environment. By investing time and effort in building relationships, I can earn the trust and respect of my students. This, in turn, leads to a more positive teacher-student dynamic where students are more receptive to feedback, guidance, and constructive criticism. Number four, boosts motivation and engagement. When students feel valued and cared for, they are more motivated to come to class and engage in the learning process. They become more willing to take risks and participate actively in various activities, which enhances their overall learning experience. And number five, it supports social emotional growth. Middle school can be a challenging time for students as they navigate adolescence. And we know that since the pandemic, students need additional emotional support, even at school. So building strong relationships allows me to be a supportive figure for my students during these times, providing a sense of stability and understanding. Building relationships with students from the beginning of the year is not just a nice gesture, but an essential component of creating a positive and productive learning environment. It sets the stage for better academic performance, improved behavior, and overall well-being of my students, making teaching and learning more rewarding for all of us. So how do we do it? How do we build relationships with our students? Well, it does start at the beginning of the year. From the first day and how you present yourself and the activities that you do in those first few weeks of school. Remember those things that I talked about earlier about the get to know you activities and the icebreakers? That's a really good place to start, but that's not where it ends. Building relationships takes time and is an ongoing process throughout the year. If you are looking for those first few week activities, I'll link to a few things, a few blog posts, and a few activities in the show notes, but that's not what we're going to be talking about today. Let's look at a few ways that once the first week is over and the icebreakers are done, then what? What can you do? How do you continue to work on relationships? Because time is a precious commodity in the classroom, and we can't just play games for the entire first quarter. Here are a few quick wins that will enable you to get started at the curriculum and continue to build relationships. Number one is to use student names. It is super important to learn the names of your students. So much of who we are is tied up in our names. So learning the names of your students and using them will go a long way in fostering a connection. If learning names is hard for you, as it is for me, and I think it only gets harder the older that I get, here's a few things that I've learned. Use your seating chart. I don't like seating charts, but in the first few weeks of school, they're important. So even if you don't typically have a seating chart in your class, use it at the beginning of the year to help you learn the names of your students. Our students come from all over the world. So if you are not sure how to pronounce a name correctly, ask the student how to pronounce it and ask it early on. Don't wait until the third week of school to ask the student how to pronounce their name. Learn to pronounce the name correctly before memorizing the name. Because I know for me, once I learn a name wrong, it's very hard for me to unlearn it. And practice. Practice saying their name as they enter your class, when you call on them. Also practice when students are working. I'll stand in front of my room with my seating chart and I'll go through the names. I'll make a little game out of it. Students know at the beginning of the year that you have 100 names or more to learn. But if they see that you're trying, they're more forgiving and they're more likely to help you out. As a younger sister myself, if you have a sibling of a student in your class, please try your hardest not to call your current student by their sibling's name. That was a huge challenge throughout my high school years. And believe me, I hated it. And it affected the way that I saw that teacher. And it affected the way that I saw that class. All right. The second quick win is student surveys. Use a simple questionnaire or a survey at the beginning of the year and ask students about their interests, hobbies, their favorite subjects, and how they prefer to learn those types of things. This information is not only valuable to you so that you can tailor your lessons and activities to their preferences, but it also gives your shy, introverted students an opportunity to share about themselves. They might not raise their hand, but they might engage in a survey. And number three, build in opportunities for peer-to-peer discussions. Remember, building relationships with students is not just between you and the individual student. You want to build a community of learners. The best way to do this is to get students comfortable talking to each other in an academic setting. Start off small with activities like collaborative posters or using discussionships to facilitate conversations, and then build up to things like collaborative storytelling and book club discussions. All right, so now we've talked about why building relationships is important, and we've talked about a few quick wins to get your year started, but how do you continue to build relationships with students throughout the year? So let's dive a little bit deeper. Just like personal relationships with your friends, you don't stop learning about the other person just because you've been introduced and now you know their name. That wouldn't make for a very good friendship, and it doesn't make for a very good student-teacher relationship either. Fostering relationships with students is an ongoing process, just like it is in life, and something that should be intentional throughout the year. So let's look at five ways that you can incorporate relationship building into your regular routine. Number one, student interest showcase. Remember back in elementary school where you had show and tell? You probably don't have time for that, nor will most of your students want to participate. But middle school students love to talk about themselves. Dedicate time in class for students to share their interests or hobbies with their peers. It can be as simple as a turn and talk discussion question or a shared journal write. A shared journal write is simply where you have a prompt that students write out and then a peer response to it. These can be super fun activities. You can get more elaborate if you want, but you don't need to. Just find a few moments here and there throughout the year where students can share about themselves and the things that they like. This is a great activity after a long weekend or a school break, but can also work on a random Tuesday. Number two, personal reflections. We often are so concerned about what our students are learning and whether they know the facts about the book or whether they've done their research for their writing piece, But I want to really encourage you to make sure that you add time so students have an opportunity for personal reflection. Ask students their own experiences, their opinions, or their feelings related to a topic that's being discussed. When you do this, not only do you get to know your students a little bit better, but you're helping your students to process the information on a more personal level. This is why I don't use reading logs that only ask them to record page numbers. I want them to be thinking about their learning, and this happens when you give students opportunities to reflect on their learning. Number 3, goal setting. Yep, goal setting is a great way to continue building relationships with students throughout the year. Students set personal and academic goals at the beginning of the year, and as you work with your student to monitor their progress, you are continuing to develop the relationship. You are showing them how much you care about them and their progress as they are sharing their successes and trials with you. Number 4, student-led activities. Are there things in your class that your students could lead? Can they lead your warm-ups? Can they lead your exit tickets? Can they organize or take responsibility for one of your stations? Anytime you can get students involved in the lesson, you are going to get more buy-in from students. This is why I feel student-led book talks work so well at engaging reluctant readers, because students are more apt to listen to a peer than an adult. Allowing students to lead short activities in class empowers them and strengthens their sense of belonging. And number 5, remember to build in the fun. Not every day has to be a hard, rigorous day. I know admin might disagree with this, but building in days or moments where the sole purpose is to just have fun and enjoy time with the class can go a long way in maintaining the community that you are working so hard to build. I want to include in our discussion here about relationships with students that not all students will want to build a relationship with you for a variety of reasons, and that's okay. Don't take it personally. Students come to us with all types of experiences. They may have good reason not to trust adults. My suggestion then is to give them space, but circle back to them several times throughout the school year. Continue being a safe, trusted adult in their life. By taking the steps to build a relationship with the student, you are making a difference. Remember that middle school can be so tumultuous for many students. They're trying to figure out who they are. They've got all these hormones and all these things that they are just trying to figure out for themselves. They may not ever come around while they're in your class, but that doesn't mean you are not making an impact or that you're not doing a good job. When students come back to visit their middle school teachers after a few years in high school, the way that they remember the teachers is the way that the teachers made them feel, the ones that took the time to get to know them, that demonstrated that even when they were being difficult, you took the time to really understand them and what was going on and continued to support them anyway. Before we go, I don't think that it would be fair to leave without at least addressing the fact that there are things happening in education that a relationship with a student is simply not going to fix. I think all too often we are told, especially when a student is being difficult in class, well, do you have a relationship with that student? And while yes, that relationship with a student can help a situation, it is not the one thing that's going to fix their family life or fix how they've learned to communicate with adults. It's not going to fix their past experience in education. There are things that our students are going through that go beyond just simply building a relationship with them. So I do not want you to leave this episode thinking that my stance on relationships is that they are the end all be all, that we'll fix all our problems if we simply improve our relationships with students. I am fully aware that there are issues in my classroom that will not be fixed regardless of my relationship with that student. But I want to do my very best to not add to the problems. And I want my students to feel safe when they're in my classroom. That discussion went a little deeper than I was expecting, but I think that it's a good one to start the school year off with. I hope that you enjoyed it and that it got you thinking about building relationships beyond the icebreakers and incorporate relationship building activities throughout the year. I want to remind you that there will be links to some first day activities and first week activities over in the show notes if you're still looking for those. Or if you're listening to this later on in the school year, you can use some of these activities after a long weekend or especially after a long break like winter break or spring break. Just kind of regroups the students. So go take a look at those. There's also links to a few collaborative blogs that will give you a variety of ideas from a variety of teachers. So go check those out as well. And as always, the conversation will continue over in the Facebook group, Secondary ELA. So come join us over there and respond to the weekly questions, or feel free to post your own questions. All right, that's it for today. Until next time, everyone, have a great week.